Welcome back to San Halen. Let the tasty licks flow. San Halen featuring Mark Zander on guitar. Brian Hanley on more guitar. Even I'm playing guitar. And vocals too. San Halen on Chicago's home for rock. I mean sports. ESPN Chicago.
Oh, good. Loud, aggressive guitar, Brian. That's the only way I'm going to forget about how damn fragile we are on the South Side. Both the fan base and the team.
It was a week. I would say, what a week for the Sox. But really, it was just a week for the Sox, right? We had...
What week? W-E-A-K?
Well,
Past couple games? Is that what you're saying? That's the way I'm spelling it.
Well, it's... We just had another week. We had, you know, a guy from the box seats yelling to Tony to pinch run Adam Engel.
And he that was a fun story, but obviously that's...
Okay, but... And then last night, we have the intentional walk on 1 and 2. We've seen that, been there, done that.
Yeah.
And
by the way, that did not backfire on us, but we noticed that in the reason why I say weak is because the moment that Aloy took a swing and he grimaced, I think I could be quoted. I was talking to my one dog that was in the room, quoted as, "I can't blanking stand this anymore." And I walked out. As soon as I saw that, it's like fragile. Fragile, fragile, fragile. And what's up with Luis Robert? We have no idea, really.
No, 7 games missing. He pinch ran once, right? I mean, that was the extent
of it. Well, that didn't involve his wrist.
Right. Here's the thing, Mark. It's maddening. You have the two big come-from-behind wins against one of the best teams in the
league. And that was fun to watch. That was fun to watch. If not brief, it was fun in the moment.
But it's a moment. It's a flash. It's not sustainable. Right. It's the White Sox, because then comes Thursday. And it's historic. I mean, it's 21-5. They might still be batting. And then last night, this guy, he's not a terrible pitcher. But here's 14 strikeouts and no walks issued, right? They're 5-5 in the last 10.
It's the same old, Brian, is what it is. The way you encapsulate it, it's the same old, same old.
All they did was take a week off the schedule, a week off the calendar, because that's what they do. Every time you get a little bit of juice and you think this is it, and I said last week, I don't think they have a 6-game win streak in them between now and the end of the season.
And you're right, they stopped short at 5.
Right. And then they lost 3. That's who they are. They don't sustain anything. Certainly don't sustain success. And you mentioned Eloy might be out with a knee now. And Luis Robert's not back yet. And Lucas Giolito is Northbrook Bob pointed out on Twitter the other day, costing himself a lot of money this season. Because all of a sudden he's off the tracks, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting. Even for a non-White Sox fan, when I'm watching it, it's frustrating. It's like you got to be
exhausting is the right word. Exhausting is the right word. We're fragile as a fan base. We really, really are. We're as fragile as Eloy Jimenez is physically.
And then it revealed during the week that Thursday, Tony, after the Cueto comments that, we better show the fire if we have any. And then Tony the next day is, well, that's curious. And I'm like, no, that's obvious.
Yeah, right, right. And then they have this team meeting. Yeah.
Well, the leadership meeting.
The leadership meeting.
And that
first question was, why this late? Why could that have not happened in June?
May? Right. If Jose Abreu believed that they were more cocky than confident, and the confidence had turned into cockiness, and they were just showing up and thinking it was all going to fall in place, well, we've been talking
about... How much do you buy any of that?
What's that?
This whole cockiness and like them admitting that, something doesn't add up to me. I don't know if I buy all that explanation.
Well, I mean, I'll take Jose Abreu at his word from what he's looking around and seeing. Now, why he would wait?
I thought it was Liam that said that.
Liam revealed it.
Liam revealed it, but it was Jose that said we're kind of cocky.
Well, he revealed that there was the meeting, which Tony probably didn't want to get out because he thinks everything should stay
nothing
in house.
Nothing stays in the clubhouse now. That's years ago.
Liam revealed it right here on the station,
God
bless him.
Right, with Waddle and Sylvie. Right.
But the point is that okay, Jose, did you have to wait for Sleepy Tony to call the leadership meeting, or do you just want to be a leader? And you go in the clubhouse and
well, that's the problem,
people.
Brian. We've taken on the. It seems like we've assimilated the approach of one Sleepy Tony, and you know he must be an authoritative figure in the clubhouse to some degree because it seemed like that had to come to them. He could not call it early, which he should have.
Right, but we've also heard Tony say, "I don't call anyone in the office," and
right,
you know, pull the "I'm the manager, you're the player." Shut up and listen. Here's how. You know, here's what you need to start doing. I'll go out on the field and just put an arm around them and say, hey, you know, might want to try this. Oh, that's great. I mean, you don't want to be the you know, heavy every time and have.
But you have to be the heavy sometimes, Brian.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. It's just they are now 14-24 in series openers. Now, think about that. What does that tell you? Okay, you come off that humiliating loss Thursday. You're going against the division leader. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. You know.
You scored too early, and then I knew, yeah, and anybody with eyes knew that scoring too early and then not being able to do anything else, there's no way you're coming out of that game successful against the Guardians at home.
Not when you have 10 batters go through in the seventh inning, you don't.
Right, you had somebody on third, three strikeouts in a row.
Yep. Hey, you go back to the first inning, they had two, they could have had four. Five.
Yep.
Yasmani Grandel. You know, he was.
And why was he in instead of Gavin Sheets? To me,
amen.
that is a bigger screw up than this whole intentional walk in 1-2 because that did not bite us in the ass this time. But why wasn't Sheets in instead of Grandel? I'm done with Grandel. I'm done with that. DFA him now.
They're not going to.
No, of course they're not. But the idea in my head is. I've cut all ties. He's not coming back. He's not going to re-find himself. I don't know what happened. We're witnessing the sharp decline of a player that used to be good.
Yeah. So his inning-ending double play with first in, you know, with a couple guys on.
Right.
You could have had a nice comfortable lead, and it might have absolutely, you know, the odds would have said you would have walked away with a win. But then in the fifth, you got Harrison and Zavala. You know, Harrison leads off with the double. Zavala, Pollock, and Andrew Vaughn, who's, you know, those guys have been contributing more often lately than not. But, I mean, at least Vaughn and it has. And they all strike out because there's 14 strikeouts. They're the only team, so-called playoff contending team, that still has a negative run differential. Things don't add up. I mean, if you look at this, it just doesn't add
up.
No,
not at all. It hasn't all year.
Right. We've been talking about the same team for 2 months because they are the same team for 2 months. Now, here they are, sit a game over.
They have these bright spots. Now, they have these bright spots here and there, but they cannot sustain it.
They can't be winning teams. All the things we've been talking about, you know, they're almost getting a winning record at home, you know, but that's been a struggle. But, you know, things you need to do to have a successful season. And I was sitting here listening to Peggy and Dion have a lot of fun and laughs at the Hard Rock in Northern Indiana for ESPN Football Fest. And the Cubs have won 8 of 11. Now, it's against the likes of the Nats and, you know, the Marlins and, you know, they're not great teams. But they battled yesterday and came back a couple times against the Brewers. They've won 8 of 11. Reyes, I don't know how sustainable it is, but that sure looks like a guy that, you know, Cleveland gave up on, and he's 14 hits in the last nine games, and he's loving
life. That was a great pickup.
And you know why you're allowed to pick him up is because your season's so terrible. You're one of the first few teams to get a crack at waivers, right? So, but I was thinking to myself, do the Cubs have a better chance now, not to be a playoff team, but winning their division? Do they have a better chance to do that before the White Sox? And I say that because the Cleveland Indians, and we talked about this, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month ago.
Guardians, you're fine.
I'm sorry. Where's the jar? I got to put some money in there.
Right. By the way, Ozzy said Indians last night, and Chuck did not bust him. But yeah, Ozzy was on a, you know, kind of going after. I think Chuck didn't want to break the momentum, but Ozzy owes some money in that chart.
Well, I mean, you know, Mike Chernoff, we talked about him 3-4 weeks ago, right? Young GM, relatively young, started as an intern in the Cleveland organization, now is the GM. They have one of the lowest payrolls, $66 million payrolls. I think they're fourth lowest in all of Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. They have the youngest roster in Major League Baseball. They have nine of the top 100 prospects in all of Major League Baseball. And again, that's subjective. I get it. But if you're going to go through MLB pipeline and everything, you have to have some sort of way to you know, figure that out or predict and project.
Let me also interject. They have Terry Francona. He's a hell of a manager.
Right. I mean, and you see how they play. And they yesterday they're talking about how they hate everyone in the division. And you're like, they play with enthusiasm, with energy, with emotion. Things you don't really see with the White Sox hardly at all. They all talk the game about, you know, we're a good club and we're going to get this thing.
Well, you
going.
See some emotion, but not enough and not consistently. No. And you don't sustain it.
Again. No, it's not 1 through 25. Nope. It's just there's a different energy to that club. So my point is, I don't know where the Twins go if Correa opts out. You know, once they or if they're a playoff team this year or not. But that Cleveland team is a team that's going to be around. I mean, if they actually start adding and spending money and get even middle of the pack, if they start, you know, adding $100 million to that $66 million, being as young as they are, the youngest team in Major League Baseball, seemingly with a good front office or a very good front office, maybe executive of the year front office, and as you said, Terry Francona, that's an obstacle and a hurdle that the White Sox might not be able to overcome to win a division anytime soon. Because if the White Sox, Mark, are not a playoff team this year, and the percentages say they will not be a playoff team this year, they're not winning the wild card, so they have to win the division.
Yep.
If they're not, what happens? What does Rick Hahn, ostensibly the powerful, authoritative GM, how does he retool this team? Does he blow it up?
How much does he blow up the team, and does La Russa step down?
Well, that's it. And if he doesn't,
I think
step
the coaching
down,
change has to happen first, because I think that I'm still not ready to give up on some of these players. Yasmani, yes, goodbye. That's it. But the core of Luis, with this fragility, I have no idea what's happening with this. But the first step is La Russa for me. I've seen enough.
Well, yeah, everyone has, but we've talked ad nauseum. He has to step down. He's not.
I understand
fired.
That. And I think he will at the end of the season. If they do not go to the playoffs, he will step down.
Why would he do that? He's 77. He's got one more year on his contract. He doesn't want to go out.
They'll pay him.
Well, that's not the point. He's a Hall of Fame manager. He doesn't want to walk away from this. He still thinks he's got it. He still thinks.
I don't know.
So why would he leave on a losing note of a non-playoff season? And if Jerry's not going to, you know, say, hey, call him over, you know, let's go have dinner. Hey, maybe, you know.
Well, maybe he will surprise us and he will do that. Jerry.
There's no indication.
If they do not make the playoffs, something big will happen. I don't think Tony will be the manager next year. I don't. Or Hahn.
What if they fired Rick Hahn instead of Tony?
And keep Tony?
What if they did that?
No. The South Side will start on fire. Spontaneously combust.
This is where you're at. I mean, the White Sox are.
Oh, I know it's a tough spot. It's a terrible spot.
But they're seventh overall in payroll at $196 million. Do you think they're going to go into the $200 million range next year, win or lose this year? Do you think I mean, that's pretty good.
And is that really the cost of winning, though? Well, what point are they going to realize what the cost of winning is?
Right. And my point on the Cubs, they're 14th at $149 million, but we've seen them in top five in payroll, right? So they keep saying, when we feel we're ready to you know, add here, we're going to spend. Well, you know, Jed always says we'll spend intelligently. I think that should go unsaid. I would hope anytime you're spending intelligently. But I wouldn't put it past them if they put $75 million to that payroll or 80 or 90, right? When they think. And we've talked about, I don't know if Carlos Rodon comes here, and all of a sudden they're talking about a bullpen, which you better have a scorecard because you don't know the names. But those guys are all pitching pretty well. I mean, they're not household names. They're Reyes, Morel, Nick Madrigal.
Hey, no pressure does wonders.
Yeah, I agree with you. But they are, I mean, of late, the last month or so, they're entertaining to watch. They're trying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're trying. That's a Reyes had a hustling triple.
Young,
yesterday.
Try-hard guys who don't have a lot of pressure. It's a good position to be in when you don't have those expectations. Now, I'm not excusing the White Sox, but that's the reality on the north side, which is a great situation to be in.
Right.
We've got a hit break here. Let's come back. We'll continue this conversation. We've got, as you mentioned, that's a Twitter poll question. We'll make sure to outline that. We've got a couple Twitter poll questions. We have a couple of people online, or I should say on the phone, waiting to get on air here on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
This is Sander and Hanley on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Decides to go to second. So now you walk him
on 1 and 2.
You apparently are walking him 1 and 2, and now it looks like Jones is going to be called back, I believe.
Again, you're ahead of him 1 and 2.
Yep.
And Jake Diekman is going to have it taken out of his hands for the time being. We've seen it twice this year. It didn't work out the first time.
Well, let's see how it works out this time.
This has got to be the first 1-2 intentional walk in Jake Diekman's long career in Major League Baseball.
Oh, you bet it was, Brian Hanley. And it did not backfire on him that time. But one of the few things that Tony did or did not do in last night's game that was a bit questionable. And we have Tony here on postgame on the intentional walk. And, let's hear from Tony himself.
So you kind of had it like ready if that base opens up that you're going to make that move. That's already kind of set up.
Right. The left-hander was going to be when he faced Mueller. When he got to Gonzalez, then if when they stole the base, there's an open base. So it's good one. So it worked. Right. Did we get the guy out?
Yeah.
So it worked.
Yeah, I don't buy any of it. 1 and 2 just doesn't make any sense.
With two out, and Owen Miller flies out on a routine fly ball off of Jimmy Lambert.
Again, it didn't backfire, but it makes no sense. It just makes no sense.
Here's the thing, so Diekman issues two walks, and then there's a double steal off of Jake Diekman, right? He was not even paying attention. So now the base is open. And, if it's 1 and 2, do you wait till it's 2 and 2 or 3 and 2, and then you say just give him his base? Likely. I mean, that's what, most people would want to see. You think Diekman can get one more strike and, head to the dugout and you're out of the jam.
Right.
But if that was the only issue, then we'd be just ripping apart Tony La Russa. But the fact there were 14 strikeouts on your side and no walks, intentional or otherwise, has been an issue for the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, no doubt.
They don't have power enough. They don't have their stars.
Not
their
nearly star. Enough.
It's always something. It's always something. And when it's all said and done, it's a team that's hovering around 500 like they've been doing for 3 months.
You're right. Look, you pronounced them dead
two weeks ago. Yeah.
And they keep sitting up in the coffin and then falling backwards. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing. Michael on the south side wants to jump in here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Yeah, I want to talk about three things. That first inning, like you said, starting Grandal instead of Sheets was the big, big error.
Glaring mistake.
Very mistake. I mean, you could see him hitting to a double play, and he wasn't even close to beating it out. And then with the man on third with nobody out. And then you said he struck out 17 times, right? I guarantee you 14 of those strikeouts, they weren't even close to the strike zone. These guys are constantly chasing and fishing. These balls weren't even near the balls in the dirt. Zabala, he swung at a ball like in the left hand batter's box. What was that all about?
They are chasing the game. They're not letting it come to them. They're forcing the issue and they're getting what they deserve.
And then in the seventh inning, and this is where it falls on the manager. This is where it falls on the manager.
Mm-hmm.
How can you see Kwan, who's just constantly hitting the ball to right field? Left field, I'm sorry. He's one of those guys who, why are you pitching the guy inside and knowing he can hit it to right field where there's nobody there? Where there's nobody there. Why not pitch him outside and so you can hit it to the defense? And then that shift What's the guy? Gomez? There's nobody in shortstop. Why are you?
Right, right. Yeah, that all of it.
Nobody in shortstop.
All of it. I know.
I mean, this is management. And I know a lot of people push back on Russo. A lot of people up in the, you know, on TV, they don't want to say too much about Russo and all that stuff. They're afraid, probably. I don't know if they're afraid of him or not. That was a question they never asked.
Well, Michael, you heard the lack of what Stone said was glaring. You know, he has been a critical voice against La Russa all year. Thank you, Michael, for the call. A lot of times, and Steve Stone isn't coming out and saying a lot, but what you heard in that exchange with Benetti and Stone, it was disbelief, Brian, absolute disbelief. And they were reflecting what all of us were watching. If you know baseball, that is disbelief. And Michael brought up another couple of points. Positioning on players at certain times. The Grandal, you know, insisting on putting Grandal to keep hoping he turns it around. He's not turning it around.
I can't argue any of it. Right. And again, if it was only a managerial issue, and that is an issue, no doubt. It's on the list, and it's high on the list.
Yeah.
It's
one of many issues. A lot of issues. It's just Tony, for sure.
Yeah. It's sloppy. You know, base running. It's sloppy fielding. It's no sense of discipline, top to bottom of the order in terms of your approach at the plate. Right. We talked about the lack of power, and you don't have enough guys who sprayed all fields to manufacture a 4 or 5 run inning, basically getting singles and doubles, right? So I wanted to bring this up because Reyes, Franmil Reyes, who's having a very nice start with the Cubs, this was his quote after having a hustling triple yesterday in that win against the Brewers and then able to score an infield single, right? He said, it's just taking advantage of what the game gives you. One more thing that shows people you have to hustle every time. If I didn't get the third, I couldn't score with the infield single that Hap had. We on the Sox side of town, they're told not to hustle every time.
Right.
Right?
Right. And again, that's where I go back to La Russa. Look, a long list of problems. For me, he's on the top of the list now. I've had enough. George in River Grove wants to jump in on ESPN 1000. Hey, George.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. You know, what's up?
Last year, after the playoffs, and the White Sox walked off the field with a big brown stain on the back of their pants, I said to myself, the biggest problem with this team is there's not a player on the squad that's anywhere near so slick as they think they are. And consequently, they're swinging at pitches they can't hit. They're a bunch of dumpster diving hacks. They think that they can flip a switch and be the best player on the field. They missed this memo. Your best effort is required at all times, not just when you feel like it. And that's on management, or Mangelman, as I call him, because they sure as hell ain't managed. The culture of this squad is in the toilet.
Yep. You're not wrong.
Nobody's getting paid anywhere near enough. Everyone needs a raise because they don't feel the need to bust their ass out of the box. They can't catch the ball. They can't hit the cutoff. They can't run the bases. They're just
George, you're right about that, but they're not being held accountable. Thanks for the call. They're not being held accountable, seemingly. For this, there are repeat mistakes, and we're going to get to Jesse in just a bit, but there are repeat mistakes that don't seem to have any sort of accountability. Before we hit the break and get to Jesse, let's get to one more call here. Gideon's on the road, wants to jump in on ESPN 1000. Hey, Gideon.
Hey, Xander. Hey, Brian. Really quickly, ESPN has done a great job with Football Fest. I was there. I had to leave, but it was a great time.
Awesome.
A really good job there. Secondly, Xander, you said that what if the White Sox fire Rick Hahn? I almost puked in my car.
Like, I said that Gideon.
Should
that's
not
me.
Happen.
Yeah,
we
no, that
Rick
was
Hahn.
That was Brian. I mean, I say some things, but that was Brian.
Yeah, that was me, Gideon.
Brian, you almost made me puke. Rick Hahn, though he's made mistakes, he's still gotten us to this position. Like, he made the mistake of not signing a right fielder. I think it's a mistake to have not brought back Rodon, though that maybe hindsight.
And Gideon, real quick, let me jump in here real quick. We don't know how much Rick Hahn has control, honestly. I can't sit here and say these are all on him. He could have wanted to do one of these things, and Kenny or Jerry said no.
That's another issue.
Right.
True. I think Jerry is holding him back with the amount of money he's allowed to spend. So I think that's one thing in favor of Rick Hahn. Rick Hahn may want to do all these things, but Jerry isn't letting him.
And we'll never know.
We won't. What I wanted to say, though, Brian, I think you brought up the question about which team is going to win the division sooner. I see more hope in a team that's rebuilding, and the Cubs are rebuilding right now, than a team that's already rebuilt, and we're finding out that players can't stay healthy. Grandal isn't as good of a player anymore as you signed 3 years ago, and our pitching staff is somewhat in shambles with Giolito not being able to win a game. I don't know if the Cubs will win sooner than the White Sox, but I don't have much hope as a Sox fan for us winning this year, at least.
Yeah, and it looks like Cleveland's going to be around for a long time. Looks like they only can keep going up. And I know the Cardinals, you know, by definition, their organizational mandate is to try to win it each and every year.
I told you a month ago, the Guardians concern me more than the Twins. And look who is now leading the division. And the Twins aren't going to go away either. Although, if Correa doesn't stay, that's going to set them back. Sure. So we'll see. 312-332-3776. That is the number. We're going to take a break. Come back. We will talk to Jesse Rogers, our ESPN baseball insider, about both sides of town, north and south side. We'll be right back here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
This is Sander and Hanley on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Well, being a baseball fan here in Chicago, especially in the South Side, seems to be extra exhausting this season. It's Sander and Hanley, joined by Jesse Rogers, our baseball guy here on ESPN 1000. Let's start on the South Side, Jesse.
If we have to.
What would you rather? You know, it's your pick.
You want to
start on the north side? Go ahead.
I was at Wrigley yesterday. Wind was blowing out. Beautiful day. Not surprised there were some runs scored in that one. But, you know, they've got a nice little thing going there right now. We'll see what that carryover effect to 2023 is. But I like what David Ross is doing. I've said I kind of like what Jed Hoyer is doing, considering they're rebuilding again. Like, you have to accept that fact once you do. He's going about it kind of the right way, just kind of meticulously building a few pieces. A year ago at this time, we didn't know about Steele. We didn't know about Thompson. We didn't know about Morrell. We didn't know about Suzuki. We didn't know about Horner, even, because he was hurt a lot. Think about that. Now you got Nick Madrigal. Finally showing up. 325, 413 OBP this month. Back to equal walks and strikeouts. Remember, he was striking out a lot earlier in the season, so maybe he needed a lot of time, you know, to get back in terms of his health. So even Madrigal a year ago at this time, we weren't completely sure coming off the injury. So there's some building blocks there, and they beat a good team yesterday.
So we've got a couple of polls on Twitter at ESPN 1000. And I'm going to throw these at you, Jesse. If you want to answer, go ahead. Which owner will win another World Series first? Jerry Reinsdorf, Tom Ricketts, neither. And which manager will lead this team to playoffs first? Tony La Russa, David Ross, neither. I can tell you on the South Side, we have I've had it with the Tony La Russa show myself, personally. I've had it. I'm done.
Well,
I'm done.
You're not the only one.
I know I'm not. But I tried to stay on. I tried to stay on the train for as long as possible. He's a Hall of Fame manager, but I can't anymore. I can't.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. Remind everybody out there, 2.5-3 months ago, and that long ago, I thought the White Sox would come up short this year. I just saw the writing on the wall, and maybe I'll be wrong because they're still in it, but I don't think they're
You won't
be right. I don't think they're making the playoffs. Mm. I think there's just too many deficiencies. Mm. And then there's a deficiency in every part of their game, and then there's some major, major deficiencies in some parts of their game.
Yes.
So there's like nothing that can really, you know, they can sort of bank on, you know, going forward. And it's been that way all season. I think you talk about sort of a microcosm game, 17 strikeouts without any walks. You know, that's it. That's it right there. Because this team does chase a ton and doesn't walk, which makes sense. Because if you're chasing, you're not laying off of bad pitches.
Yeah, you know, and Jesse, let me ask you this. Maybe I'm trying to break this down too simply, but I'm trying to understand this. If they are trying to chase the game, they're not letting the game come to them, they're chasing pitches, everything. Is that a coaching issue or is that a player issue?
It certainly is a little bit of both. Absolutely a little bit of both. I mean, it's going to cost Menachino his job. I mean, if it doesn't, it would shock the baseball world. So that's number one. It could cost Tony his job in a larger sense because you could say, hey, I mean, again, this is not stuff you can measure, but is he creating an atmosphere where guys are not pressing, right? Because when you press, you chase. Obviously not. You take the results and you work backwards. The results aren't there, so something in the sort of water isn't working there. Along with, of course, you're gonna take care of the hitting coach because that's just how it works.
Right.
But obviously, some of these guys are veteran players that have played better in the past, that haven't chased like this in the past. I will say they've been more chasey in the last 2-3 years than before. Like, it's kind of been in their DNA, but not as bad.
Agreed.
Not as bad as this year. So it's all baked into the process, Sander. Is it Tony La Russa's fault that Abreu, a good hitter, sometimes will chase more than he should, or Luis Robert especially. I don't know if it's Tony's fault, but those are the fault guys.
Is there accountability? Now, accountability could be a strong word, like you're going to get benched. I'm not talking about that. Is there that accountability, that coaching accountability, where they reinforce things? You know, we're not seeing it. It's certainly not consistently. If they do, it's a game or two, and then they fall back into these old bad habits.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that Frank Menachino is ignoring the stats and what his eyes tell him, but obviously the message isn't getting through. So that's another thing. You just take the results, you work backwards from there. Something's getting lost in translation here, all right? They know the stats. If you and I know them, they know them.
Yeah.
So either Menachino's message isn't getting through, they're not listening, Tony's not developing an at-ease environment, so they're pressing. Like, all these things are out there that are not really measurable when it comes to coaches. And that's why you make coaching changes, and you don't change out 25, 26 guys on the roster, although they probably should make some changes to find a little more balance. With more balance, maybe pitchers can't pitch you the same way. I mean, I saw this on the north side for a while. They became very predictable and very pitchable, and part of it was chasing. And I'm sort of seeing the same thing. After 3 years of the same kind of lineup without complete balance, they've become very predictable and pitchable. And it got exposed in a national way against the Astros in Houston and you know, in the playoffs last year. So that's kind of my take. But none of this is very measurable, right? Mm-hmm. You can't measure all of it. All we can do is look at the stats and work backwards from there, and someone's going to lose their job over it.
Yeah, and Jesse, you talked about the deficiencies, and hats off to you for calling this months ago. I called it. I toe-tagged him two weeks ago saying that. And here's another week where they have two exciting wins against one of the best teams. Then they're, you know, completely embarrassed on Thursday, and then you had that last night with the strikeouts and no walks. My question to you is, if I'm in agreement, they're not a playoff team with you. What happens? We all still believe Tony has to tell Jerry he's out, he's done. Jerry's not going to tell him, no matter if they're a playoff team or not. Would that have changed if they don't make the playoffs? Does Jerry go to Tony and say, you know, we gave it a shot, it's not working, and you know, getting rid of Menachino, that's terrific, fine, whatever. It's what happens in baseball. But if they're not a playoff team, what does happen to this roster? And what happens if Tony's still sticking around? I mean, is Rick Hahn in trouble? Could they just skip the Tony firing and say, well, let's get somebody else to redo the roster?
That's probably not going to happen, my guess. And going back to, look, this is speculation with Jerry Reinsdorf. It's not like he's confiding in very, very many people. I'm probably including his own executive staff, right? So but from my feeling is he's back. If he wants to be back, it would probably be a mutual thing if he's not, talking about Tony. I think they can absolutely make the case that a second year in a row of injuries, and these were much worse or much more important because the division was better. I mean, look, even this stretch without Luis Robert, without Tim Anderson, I mean, we all have to at least acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why these guys can't stay in the field, that's a whole other issue that, you know, I could probably write 10,000 words on it.
Jesse Aloy yesterday. It's like, are you kidding me? Andrew Vaughn got hit in the face. Well, it was off his shoulder, but still got hit in the face, stayed in the game. Aloy took a swing and then grimaced, and he's out.
In my one quick conversation with Cherry this year on the field, he mentioned the injuries, which is fine. So they could probably convince themselves it was a second year of injuries. I think it'd be completely mistaken. I don't think Rick Hahn will do that, although I'm not positive, because if he's stubborn about it, he could just say, let's run it back again with the same and just pray no injuries. That would be so silly. I think Rick's got to recognize the lack of balance he has on this team, maybe if you want to call it the injury-prone players that they've employed. And they certainly have talked about changing up their systems to prepare in terms of their bodies and stuff, and they weren't able to do that between, you know, from COVID to the lockout. They weren't completely able to overhaul their getting ready, preparing for the season, and getting in shape kind of stuff that they want to do. So all that is up in the air. I just can't imagine he'd run back the same roster, even if he does change how they prepare and stuff like that. But look, I don't know. I was critical of him in March because they didn't have enough left-handed hitting.
Right.
And it's been proven to be true for 3 years running.
You said it, Jesse. You don't know how to quantify this. And you talked about guys pressing and that, you know, that's why they're chasing. But at the same time, we hear that Jose Abreu said the confidence turned into cockiness. We heard Johnny Cueto say, we better show the fire if we have any, which is damning in itself. And so how can be pressing if there's some question within the team that you're not bringing it every day and you're not trying to have a sense of urgency or the compete? I mean, I'll give the guys on the north side, they compete, and they might be glorified minor league players for the most part, and they might be beating up on bad teams, but they compete. They hustle. They try to take the extra base. They have a better baseball IQ right now than the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say that about all 26 players. Abreu tagged up from first base last Saturday. I brought that up a few times, but that's the one guy we know will bring it.
Yep.
So but it's not rubbing off enough and all that stuff. And Brian, everything you just said is the reason you do make a managerial change. It just does, something's missing in the water there. And it's not necessarily, bad locker room. It's just not, working. It's just not working. Sometimes, some years it just doesn't work. And this manager, let's face it, here's the bottom line. This manager is not bringing out the best in these players. And that's the bottom line.
That could be agreed upon, I think.
A lot
of people think these players aren't what they, as advertised, but we've all seen these players play better. So we can agree that he's not bringing the best out of them consistently.
Yeah, there's enough blame to go around. It's not a balanced lineup, and the manager's not bringing out the best. And by the way, the pitching staff has been, okay, Bummer and Crochet, fine. But I'm talking about the starting staff. Lance Lynn missed a little time. Yes, that's one pitcher. Everyone else been pretty healthy, and you got the surprise performance out of Cueto. I can't imagine, I mentioned yesterday, a more shocking, disappointing year than Giolito's year, right?
Yeah.
And Lynn's been pretty up and down after the injury. But, you've had pretty good health there. Graveman's been healthy. Hendricks been healthy, except one little stint there. Most teams have more pitching injuries, to be honest. So where they haven't had the lineup, I feel like they've had enough starters, enough healthy starters, and they're still underachieving. So we can't just blame it on injuries. There's more there. And if Jerry and Rick and Tony just try to run it all back next year, I think that'd be a huge mistake.
I think we could all agree on that, too. Jesse Rogers, thanks for jumping in with us here on ESPN 1000. Johnny Cueto, our leader on the south side. That's the guy. That's our team leader, I think. He's on the mound today.
Yeah, he's been a stopper. He's been a guy that's been outspoken already.
Yep.
If they've made mistakes in personnel decisions, they certainly did not there. They made a home run decision. Nobody else wanted Johnny Cueto, and the White Sox rolled the dice, and it's coming up huge. So let's give him credit for that one.
Okay. Amen. All right. All right, Jesse, thank you. Thank you.
They get one.
Good to talk to you.
They got that one.
All right.
See you guys.
All right,
thanks.
It's ESPN 1000. We'll be right back to take your calls at 312-332-3776.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
This is Xander and Hanley on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
This new opportunity, like, there's many players that doesn't have a second chance. I'm very blessed for having it. Like I said a couple days before, like, the last couple days in Cleveland, I was turning the page around. I was doing better, you know, but, you know, I didn't have the opportunity at the last couple weeks. But, you know, coming here, I just had the same plan. I have Johnny Washington here that knows me since I was basically a little kid. He reminds me a couple of things, working with him and Browning and Cabrera. Like, all together, we put a good work on it, a good routine that I'm not missing, and, you know, everything's showing up right there.
Xander and Hanley, ESPN 1000. That was a great pickup by the Cubs, Franmil Reyes. He was DFA'd by Cleveland, and as soon as I saw him, I knew that Sox would not pick him up, and they had no reason to, although you can argue right field, all that, blah, 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 but great pickup for the Cubs, and it gave him a new lease on life, and he's responded accordingly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he would have never got to them because you start from the worst records. You know, those teams get first bite at anybody off
right,
waivers.
Right.
But he's 6'5", 265. He's only 27. He's shown that, I mean, again, I hope it's got staying power, but I love his enthusiasm. I love that his teammates are talking about how he comes in and talks to them every day about bringing it and bringing the energy. He's already become kind of a leader in that clubhouse, and it's a young clubhouse. You know, so far so good. 14 hits in 9 games, and it just hopefully he's going to continue to that. He talked about the second chance, Mark, to embrace that and treat it as such. And it looks like he's going to be a part of this thing moving forward.
Yeah. Again, why he didn't quite work out in Cleveland, who knows? But a new lease on life, and players are appreciative.
Yeah,
you know, when they get picked up, you know, kind of like a rescue dog or cat. They appreciate it.
Absolutely, they do.
312-332-3776. We've got Owen on the line. We'd like to hear from Owen every week here on ESPN 1000. Hey, Owen, I know you are so frustrated with the White Sox, as we all are.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you, it's not just the play, but it's what the front office promised. These guys said, bite the bullet for 5 years. We'll struggle, and then we're going to go out and compete 7-8 years. We're going to go out and spend money because we're going to save money on the salaries for those 5 or 6, 7 years. And what do? They go out and they get that Hernandez at second base last year from a divisional rival. Why would they trade a divisional rival to the Sox so they could improve themselves? Then we get the reliever from the Cubs, who basically we got Pollock for.
Yep.
And then this year we get Diekman at the trading deadline. A left-hander that's been moved 5 or 6 times. And if you're a left-hander and you're moved 5 or 6 times,
you're not that good. Yeah.
You're not that good. And so it's not. I don't know if you blame Hahn, Williams, Reinsdorf. I blame this whole organization and the players that they went after, if you think about it. We can blame injuries. They've been 500, not just this whole year, since the second half of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that kind of gets me is maybe these players came out at the beginning. They were young players, and the league has to adjust to them, and they were probably fastball hitters. And they probably jumped on first pitches, as we always seen. They never really walked that much. And I think what you guys say about the baseball IQ, I think the league has adjusted to these guys where they don't adjust that well. I think they overrated their talent. And I think the front office has sold the fans a bill of goods. I'm actually a lifelong Sox fan, and I'm actually considered. And I'm a guy that did not like the Cubs. I'm actually considering following them more than the Sox. That's, you know, I mean, It's pathetic the way they've treated the fans.
Well, thank you, Owen. Well said, and we can feel your frustration. Look, I mean, if you're going to switch teams, or you're going to watch both teams, or you're going to be more interested in the Cubs than the Sox, I get it. If you're frustrated, no matter what team you follow, and we've said this, Brian, no matter what team you follow, if you're frustrated at what they're doing, don't give them your money. Send the message.
Yeah, and you know what? So 39,000 plus yesterday on a beautiful Chamber of Commerce Day in Chicago, you know, Air and Water Show practice going. So you got the Blue Angels flying over. I mean, and Paul Sullivan, our buddy at the Tribune, tweeted out a photo of a beautiful day, said this will work. And I'm with you. I'm like, cease and desist. Don't aid and abet this team by giving them your money. But that said, Owen just said it, and I've come to, certainly in the last 2-3 weeks, they are competing. They are trying. They're hustling. There's energy there. Now, it's a young team, and they're playing
Obviously, we're talking about the Cubs and Wrigley Field yesterday. You're right. And again, I'm not drawing this as a comparison to the White Sox, but there are no expectations on the Cubs. You've got a bunch of young guys, no pressure, and they're just trying hard. And see what happens when you try hard?
Right.
It's fun.
And you know what? And here's to Owen's point, and I may go back to the whole Tony La Russa thing. With Jerry telling Rick Hahn that this is your guy, and you know, go out there and tell everyone he's getting another chance, because for 30 years or whatever, I've been regretting the fact that the Hawk fired him. So we got to make amends before I leave this mortal coil of ours. You're holding a fan base hostage. You're not doing the. Maybe he thought he was the guy for the job. Okay, but now we're coming.
We're pretty sure that that's not the case.
Right. Exactly right, Mark. So, if you bring him back again next year because he wants to come back, and as Jesse said, you just, you know, roll the same team out there and expect a different result, shame on everybody. And Owen's not the only one. Jonathan Estes tweeted at us on response to one of our poll questions about which manager will get his team to the playoff first, David Ross or neither. And he said, by default, it's La Russa, and that makes sense because they're 3.5 back, and they've been sitting there within, you know, coughing distance for 3 months, but they haven't been able to take the division. But he said, as a Sox fan, I wish David Ross was my skipper. So people are paying attention, and say what you will about the Cubs roster and their timeline and whether they're going to spend and how much they're going to spend. David Ross at least holds people accountable, and he earlier in the week admitted he took Stroman out a bat or two early. And he goes to Stroman first before he meets the media and says, that's on me. I should have left you in there. And
that's what we like to see. That's what I want to see in a manager. And Brian, there are people we've heard from them, and there are some that have worked here before that say, you know, managers don't matter that much.
I know.
They matter enough to set the tone. They matter enough to lead. Yes, the players play the game. But accountability, Tony's been, from my point of view, Tony's been too soft. He's trying to adjust the new version of the game, and therefore he has lost the very thing that Tony, I thought, was going to bring to this team. It seems to be gone now. 312-332-3776. Back in two to talk more baseball on the north side and the south side, and we're going to talk about the Bears, too, coming up on ESPN 1000.